8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. Trying to track down Mike DeGeorge right now. We got a lot going on this morning with
a little bit of news.
So, if you've not heard, Mike DeGeorge, Maverick men's basketball coach, is going to Cal Poly, the Division I program out in California. So Mike will be leaving Colorado Mesa, and we're trying to get him on the air for a few minutes this morning.
Our traditional exit interview.
Trevor Baskin has announced he will go into the transfer portal. We don't know where he's going, but we're... So right now, you want to give Mike a call?
Sure.
Mike DeGeorge right now. So we're going to have Mike DeGeorge on in just a moment. So some news breaking this morning that Mike DeGeorge is leaving Colorado Mesa to go to Cal Polytechnic out in California. So he's going to join us in just a moment to talk about that. We'll also have around the NFL as well in just a couple minutes. We'll dive into that. But yeah, some big news this morning, Mike DeGeorge taking the job at Cal Poly. After getting the Mavericks to 4 consecutive NCAA tournaments, a couple of Sweet 16 appearances, twice the RMAC Coach of the Year, and his 79% winning percentage, it's the best in program history. So, Mike DeGeorge, are we ready to talk to Mike here in just a moment? Let me do this. Got to do a couple things very quickly. And whenever you're ready to go, you going to play the open for Mike?
Yeah, I figured one last time I'd hit it.
One last time.
Talking Colorado Mesa men's hoops with Mavs coach Mike DeGeorge on the team.
And so with us right now, former Maverick men's basketball coach Mike DeGeorge. Mike, good morning. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for having me.
And thanks for coming on very short notice. A lot of news breaking this morning. Story came out yesterday about your name was linked to the Cal Polytechnic job through the blog hoopdirt.com. Initially, you'd not responded to the Daily Sentinel about that. And this morning, a story came out about an hour ago that you confirmed that you are going to Cal Poly. Kind of take us through what's led you to this decision and I guess just what the last couple of days have looked like for you.
Yeah, it's obviously been a crazy time, and I had no interest or of pursuing anything. They actually reached out to me, and then, you know, after loss to West Texas last week, they flew me and my wife out for the interview. And honestly, I was like, you know, I was intrigued, but I have no interest in leaving. But you get out there and you see the place and you meet the people, and it's a pretty incredible opportunity. And, you know, we both loved it. And then they offered me the job on Saturday, and you know, so I had the contract signed on Sunday and was just waiting to tell the team. It was spring break, and I was trying to tell the team in person. I didn't want to have to do it over Zoom, and we really couldn't get everybody together until Monday afternoon because of some snowstorms in the mountains, guys getting back from spring break. So and then, yeah, the Sentinel called me when I was in the meeting with the team, and I didn't get back to them till last night. So I
guess what was the response from your players, Mike? I mean, you got a lot of guys that are going to be leaving. Trevor Baskin, as the paper reported, he's going to hit the transfer portal. We don't know where he's going just yet, but he'll be leaving to go to a D1 program. I guess what was the overall feeling in that meeting from your guys about your announcement?
Well, they're a great group of kids. And so, you know, they were very supportive. I mean, they gave me a round of applause. You know, how many people would do that? That just shows their character. And, you know, I mean, I think they recognize that, you know, one of the things I told them was I signed a 5-year contract for amount of money that I would need to work in D2 until my late 60s to make that same amount. So, you know, it is life changing for, you know, my wife and I's retirement plans, and it's an incredible opportunity, you know, to have the chance to turn around, you know, programs at all three levels. I mean, that'd be a pretty cool thing. And so, and then it's a beautiful place. It's a great school. And so I think for our family, it'll be a great opportunity. And I think they get that, and they were understanding and supportive.
So I guess when you look at what happens after you leave, Is Kyle Busch going with you to Cal Poly? Can you confirm that? Is Kyle going to be in the running to replace you as the head coach? What does that look like in terms of your successor?
Yeah, Kyle's decided to come with me, as has B.J. Andrews, our second assistant. So they'll both be coming with me.
Mike DeGeorge, now former Colorado Mesa men's basketball coach, with us on the program. And I guess for you, Mike, you mentioned it's a chance to turn around another program at another level of basketball. You did that at Rhodes College in Memphis previously at D3. You've done it here in Grand Junction with the Mavericks, and now a chance to do it at the Division I level. Why do you feel like you've always had success doing that? What's been the secret sauce for you, Mike, in terms of getting a program turned around at all the various levels that you have?
Well, I don't know. I think I've been fortunate, one. Two, I do think that, you know, you just got to stay really process-driven, and you can't get caught up in, you know, losing and being focused on the outcome and just really try to make great decisions for the program in all ways. You know, just put people first, build relationships, and then just really try to put the players in the best position to be successful. And then just try to find people that value and appreciate that kind of approach. And, you know, I think I've been at good places, and, you know, we just try to be well organized and treat people right and just have a good approach. And things tend to get better, and you just continue to gain more and more momentum. So I don't know that there's a secret sauce as much as there is just a consistent day-to-day approach of trying to do things the right way.
What's the thing you're going to miss the most about CMU?
Well, I'm going to miss everything. I mean, obviously the players, it was very difficult to tell the players. But my experience here is, you know, when they first reached out to me, the AD reached out to me, and then he flew in to meet with me. You know, I was like, why mess with what's happening here? We have this great situation. We've loved every day of the 6 years we've been here. You know, why mess with that? And, you know, then we just got further and further involved in the process. And the appeal of that, of the area, of the school, and the opportunity really started to, kind of seem like it was the right thing. So, but yeah, we'll miss everything. The community's been great. The administration's been fantastic. And the players and the kind of people you can attract here are just outstanding. So definitely we'll miss the players most.
Mentioned that the Cal Poly had a rough season, 4-28. They ended on a 20-game losing streak, I should say. Before midseason, they said that Coach John Smith was going to leave at the end of the season. They never won more than 7 games during his 5 years as the coach there. What are, for you, I mean, as I said, this is familiar territory. You've gone in and rehabbed programs before, particularly the one that you're at right now, or at least wrapping up your career with here in Grand Junction. What are the challenges at Cal Poly? I mean, this is now it's Division I basketball. It's the highest level in a program that has really struggled the last 5 years.
Yeah, to me, one of the appealing things is, one is it is a great school and it is in a great location. And I think that you hopefully have this opportunity to, you're a little bit protected from the craziness of high level Division I, and where it's all just about NIL money, and that you can attract just some really good kids who just want a great education and would love to be in that setting. And so I do, and I talked to Jeff Lender, the coach of Wyoming, about it. I can't remember when that was, last week sometime. And, you know, he was like, his situation is tough. Like, there's just so much NIL money in the Mountain West that it's, you know, they're just constantly, you know, getting outbid. And in the Big West, you know, there are a couple of the schools that at the top have some NIL money, but the rest of the schools really don't. And so it is way more level of the playing field. So, yes, there's certainly some hurdles to overcome. But I do think it's a place you can just get some great kids in there and who want a great education and just build it up and just keep getting better.
How attractive was it that the path to the NCAA tournament now doesn't have to go through Canyon, Texas?
Maybe the playing level, not have to go on the road always. But, yeah, no, that didn't really factor in. I think the teams in the Mountain West are going to be pretty imposing too, so.
Serious question about the move to D1, though, is like, when you got started in coaching, was this kind of where you thought you'd end up on the track? You'd eventually get to D1, or is this all just kind of a bonus from where you started?
I mean, if I'm being honest with you, I mean, I'm a D3 guy, and I never saw having an opportunity outside of that. I mean, I played Division III basketball. My dad coached and played Division III football. You know what I mean? My brother's a Division III football coach. My other brother was a Division III football coach. I mean, we were just a D3 family. And really, the appeal of the Mesa job was we loved Colorado, and we were in a difficult position in Memphis for our family. It just wasn't a great situation for our kids at the time. And so we were kind of looking at it, and they showed interest. And then when I got involved in the process, I loved everything about CMU. But I didn't even really think this was a realistic opportunity to get here. And I certainly had no idea that Division I would be a choice. And so, you know, I've always just tried to do the best I can at the job I'm in. And then, you know, if opportunity finds me, or if I, you know, needed to look for another opportunity because it was better for my family, those were really the things that fueled our decisions. It's never really been the objective or even on the radar for me.
What's your favorite memory you're going to have, or favorite memories of coaching and being in Grand Junction?
Yeah, and you're trying to get me to be emotional now, Jim. It's been a tough couple of days. I'm not going off no sleep here.
I would never do that, Mike. Come on, I would never do that to you.
Well, I would say there are a lot of them. So obviously the winning and everything has been obviously great. But honestly, it's just coming to practice every day and just, you know, having a group of guys that is just committed to each other and winning. I mean, anytime, just so many moments of the guys just supporting each other and just being great teammates. To me, that's what it's all about. And, you know, we've had so many of those moments because we've got to deal with such great kids.
You handled that well, Mike. You didn't get teary. That's okay. That was not what I was looking for. I don't want this conversation to be that. I mean, if you do, you do. But that's okay, and that's understandable. You know, that's obviously I'm torn. Being a Mesa State grad, CMU grad. Hate to see you leave. Loved covering your teams. You've done such a fantastic job of putting this team at the top of the RMAC mountain during the time that you're here. And I, you know, covered the Mavs for a long time, and there were some struggles before you got here. And you had an immediate impact on getting this program turned around. Going to miss our conversations on the radio and in person. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I think Buckeye Boy and I both agree. We always look for people to have better opportunities, and this is a great opportunity for you and your family. And we're going to miss seeing you around here. Going to miss the great job you've done coaching this program, but. Going to wish you nothing but the best of luck coaching the Mustangs out in California.
Well, I appreciate it. And I will just say that, you know, everybody in the community has just been so positive. And obviously you and Patty Arnold always are putting positive spins on things, not making it a negative media interaction. So I just really value and appreciate you guys. And we'll miss you as well.
Yeah, you've always been a class act, Mike. You always will be. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck out of Cal Poly.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Mike DeGeorge, now the coach of the Cal Polytechnic Mustangs. They say it's tough because
the animals got smaller.
Yeah, the animal got a lot smaller.
It's a little faster.
But smaller.
Smaller.
I'm going to miss Mike being here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just remember being on the bus, going to Canyon, COVID, longest trip to eat Panera I've ever taken in my life.
Yeah, and you drive 5 hours on a bus to eat a $40 sandwich.
Yeah, and but was going to miss having him on the program. Going to miss Kyle. Gabo Shea's a great guy. Didn't
Big
get to know RJ all that.
Games.
Didn't get to know RJ, but Kyle, he, of course, we've been in this program for a very long time. As much as I hate seeing him go as an alum and a guy that covers the team, and I know you feel that way covering the Mavs as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for him to have this opportunity. And I hope for Trevor Baskin. I hope it's a great opportunity. Trevor's always been great coming on the program. We might still try to reach out to him this week at some point and try to get him on. But we wanted to get Mike on this morning since there was the story that broke about him going to Cal Poly.
For me, I always like having the coach to where this happened, right? It's essentially a this morning story. and top of the second hour, we have him on. Text him, hey, you want to come on? You got it. No problem. Whatever. Thumbs up emoji. Call me now. Whatever. Because you don't always get
those. No, you don't.
And the fact that essentially three or four, I don't go back that far, but three coaches running for the men's program. And Taylor's the same way for the women's program. Miles, you know, Russ Martin before him. It was always, you got it. And I always get a little hesitant because that run of good luck, at least selfishly for us, is going to run out at some point. And I always hate when it's like, okay, we got a new coach. How's this guy going to be? Is he, if we come up with the notorious MDG thing, is he going
to be okay with
kind of reluctantly embrace it like Mike did?
Which Mike did. It was because Mike's not a showy guy.
No.
And
he didn't want it to be about him at all, so. You know, but he kind of was like, all right, whatever. He had a little fun with it.
I'll have some fun with it. Why not?
Is that going to be part of the next coach's personality? It shouldn't be, you know, it's one of the things that is very, 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 very far down the list. But also, you know, he's appreciative of how we handled some things. We're appreciative with how open and forthright. And you good over there? What did you, just something break?
Got a guy who used to work here, just decided to come back and start busting stuff up, apparently. So
So he's here just kind of throwing stuff down on the counter.
Yeah, he's just breaking it.
So don't
break it, Brandon. Jeez.
Don't give that guy a shovel or a rake or anything. Just let the professionals deal with that. But like I was saying, you know, I appreciate what Mike said. We try to always put a positive spin on it because, you know, even seniors in college, they're still kind of kids. We also appreciate the fact that Mike would still, we could ask him hard questions about hard games, about bad performances, and he would not
affect
the relationship that it has in the past with some people.
Absolutely.
That's an appreciation that selfishly I got a little too comfortable with. So now we got to, you know, freshen it up a little bit, get a little newness going around here.
All right. So coming up, we're going to be over at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer for Mav Day today. So make sure you swing by. And once again, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood. So we'll be over there for Mav Day. Chris Hanks will be there. Megan Boatte and Mickey Winder and Lauren White from the swim and dive team. They'll be over there as well. Let's quickly dive into
the latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, so the annual meetings are going on in Orlando, Florida. Sean Payton, Broncos brass out there. And just some of the news from yesterday, they banned the hip tackle. I think we did talk about that yesterday.
Whatever that is, they banned it.
They banned it.
Good luck.
And so Sean Payton did a little roundtable, some of the Denver media, and answered a few questions about what's gone on with free agency or what hasn't gone on in free agency. And one of the things that he was asked, I believe Broncos unofficial mouthpiece Mike Kliss asked him this question about Russ. So it's about Russ and about the decision to move on from Russ and then Jared Stidham. So it kind of starts out with a very quick answer.
You want to give one final kick out the door, Sean?
So here's Sean Payton talking about Russell Wilson, that situation, and moving forward with Jared Stidham.
What consequences were so severe to make that decision to let him go?
No. I mean, it's always difficult when you take on a cap hit like that. We spent some time deciding how we were going to take that, and then we move forward.
How do you look at Jared Stidham? Is he maybe in the driver's seat to be the starter? How do you evaluate
that? He's definitely competing to be the starter. I don't think we have a term driver's seat, really, but he is going to compete for that position. I know he's anxious and excited to do that, and I'm sure there'll be other candidates that will be competing with him.
With Jared Stidham, how has the vision for Jared evolved since you got a hold of him last time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think relative to his vision, it's kind of exactly where we saw it a year ago. We felt like this is a player who can compete. We felt like he's got upside, a young player that's really played a limited amount of snaps relative to the years he's been in the league. Did anything change in those last two games leading to this season? I can't say, in fairness to him or the process, definitively that anything did, other than we still feel real positive about this player and we're anxious to see him when he's getting a lot more snaps and work with the ones.
Okay, I always love the phrase "this player."
Like he doesn't player,
know his name. You just mentioned his name. It's like you don't. Jared Stidham, he's the only damn quarterback. Okay, you got Ben DiNucci. He's the only damn quarterback he got right now.
I get the vision in my mind
player.
Of, hey, all the quarterbacks come into the office, and Jared Stidham walks in. He's by himself. There's a single chair, and he's like, hey, coach, can I sit? That's for the starter. I'm the only one on the team right now.
We're still keeping our options open.
I mean, you can lean on the arm of the chair.
Can stand behind the chair.
It's the only guy in the room and is like, no, you can't sit down yet.
All right. Also, he was asked about Jerry Jeudy. And now, okay, what crack? Okay, they traded him, but listen to the opening part of this answer.
Okay. Let's start with Jerry. I'm excited for him and his opportunity. He and I think, had a pretty close relationship.
Apparently not close enough.
And look, obviously, he was able to get a new contract and so, you know, as coaches, you want to see that for your players. Marvin certainly will be a candidate to play more snaps because of that, and there'll be some competition, I'm sure.
Okay, so
he knows his name.
He knows Marvin.
He knows Marvin. Marvin's first name. Old Marv.
Old Marvin the Martian. So, we did talk about in hour one that Peyton said he was going to top any of the quarterbacks, and then he talks about J.J. McCarthy. About I didn't go to his pro day, but we did have a private workout. So you weren't going to talk about anybody, but then you start talking about J.J. McCarthy.
That's why That's why Jared Stidham can't sit down in the chair yet.
Because they're maybe keeping that open for J.J. McCarthy, depending
on... We'd hate to have you stand up again.
You know, and he's also said he's going to trade up, and so that option is there for the Broncos to try to trade up. We'll see what happens. Other notes that came out of the meetings that Broncos are going to change their uniforms for next year. Color scheme is going to stay the same. What they're going to look like, not sure exactly. Seen some mock-ups with the mountain range on the shoulder, on the arm. That's a possibility. Do they go with the snow-cap white helmets with the old Denver logo? That's a possibility as well. And we're expecting to see the new uniforms before the draft in the next couple of weeks, probably. We'll see those.
So you'll get your first look won't be J.J. McCarthy holding it up?
Probably not, no. Also, Broncos president Damani Leach, who's at the meetings as well, said that the Broncos continue to evaluate a long-term stadium decision, whether they're going to stay in Empower Field a mile high, build out by Stapleton, whatever that looks like, that they've already conducted a lot of renovations at Empower Field with the scoreboard and some of the things that they've done there. But right now, Damani Leach says he usually arrives at a stadium when the Broncos are on the road like a day or two before to kind of look at stadiums and get some ideas. And so that is also... not a front burner issue, but toward the front of the stove, if you will, for the Broncos moving forward. Also today, out in Orlando, they have adopted the low-impact kickoff, modeled on what's been used in the XFL. Under the new rule, 10 players on the kicking team and at least 9 players on the receiving team will line up just 5 yards apart and won't begin running until the ball gets back to the returner, meaning players won't be full speed when they run into each other, which caused a lot of injuries and kickoffs in recent years. Of the 22 players in the field, only the kicker and one or two of the kickoff returners will line up separately from those players or 5 yards apart. Kicker will kick off from his 35. 10 of his teammates will line up on the other team's 40. Receiving team's 9 or 10 blockers will line up on their own 35. Kick must land between the 20-yard line and the goal line. A kick that either goes out of bounds or lands short of the 20 will be awarded to the receiving team at the 40-yard line. A kick that goes into the end zone for a touchback will go out to the receiving team's 30-yard line. Once again, it's like the Fantastic Mr. Fox, that film, where they're playing the game, where they spend a good 3 minutes describing how the game works, and you still go, I don't know how they're playing this. Anyway, this is a very confusing...
You're going to need another whole those laminated menus to figure out what happens with any given kickoff.
Yes. Very true. All right. So that's around the NFL this morning, and it's time for Triple Play Record Stadium Cinema.
Know your sports TV shows and movies? Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
Yes, up for grabs today. It's a downtown double play with Triple Play, a $20 gift certificate to our friends at Triple Play Records, and a small antipasta salad courtesy of our friends at Junction Square Pizza. No age limitation on this. Anytime, anybody of a certain age can get in and play. First correct answer on the text line we take texts only at 970-242-1340 to identify this sports movie. Gets the downtown double play with Triple Play.
Rath, hit by a pitched ball, advances to first.
There you go.
Okay, so first correct answer wins today. The downtown double play with Triple Play and Junction Square Pizza. Text only. Get your answer in right now, 970-242-1340. Keep in mind, if you won earlier with Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia, you don't get to play. Do we have a winner for that one,
by the way?
Okay, let's do this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Scott was first in the door identifying the frozen orcas that are the Vancouver Canucks.
First team the Avs beat on their way to the 2001 Stanley Cup. All right, joining us right now, Brandon Tao with the Grand Junction Blackouts basketball team.
Breaking
good
stuff over there.
Good morning, Jim.
Breaking stuff in the studio, but also breaking some ground, right?
Yes, definitely breaking ground. That's something we are extremely excited about. Today's the big day. We've been looking forward to this for about 2 years now from when the board members and myself and Dean and Pat and Kevin and Jen, we all kind of said, you know what, it's time to really kind of build our own. You know, during COVID, we were really frustrated because we didn't have any gym space. And so we need our own, And me and Dean joked about it for years. And to finally see this day here is, man, we're excited about it. And I hope the community is just as excited.
First, give us a background about the Grand Junction Blackouts.
Okay, so GJ Blackout, we are a youth travel and competitive basketball club. We go all the way from now. Last year we had a great showing for third and fourth grade girls and boys, which we've never had before. So we go all the way from third and fourth grade boys, and we've had high school teams in the past, and now that we'll have the facility, that's something we're looking at. We run all the local, everybody calls it AAU leagues.
Right.
So you have middle school, AAU, and then you have our travel team are kind of the three different tiers that we definitely help in.
All right, so where will the facility be? Give us the details about what it's going to look like when it's built, where the groundbreaking is taking place, all the information on this, Brandon.
Yeah, the address for the facility will be 715 23 and a half Road. The groundbreaking will be at 4 o'clock today. Get there a little bit earlier. We're expecting to be kind of packed. And what it's going to look like, we're going to have four courts. We're going to try to run every sport that we can in there, not just basketball. That's one of our visions. One of the board, you know, all the board members had a vision of we want to do everything in there, take care of volleyball. You know, have the nets in there, pickleball, do some baseball training in there, even soccer training as well. So we want to try to encompass all sports in there as much as we can.
So groundbreaking is 4 o'clock today. What's the time frame as far as from, you know, shovels turning dirt today to an opening event for the facility when it's completed?
One of our board members, Kevin Young, he owns North Peak, which he's been very gracious with a lot of his time and what he's done to help build it. He is saying right around a year is what we're really optimistically trying to say when we're going to have it open and have our grand opening next year about this time.
All right, so 4 o'clock today, public's invited to attend.
Yes, absolutely.
And once again, the location.
It is at, my phone keeps closing. 715 23 and a half Road, just across the street from Community Hospital.
Okay, very good. So out kind of northwest of town.
Correct.
So get out there, and if you, and I imagine you've got some mock-ups of what it's going to look like and things like that. I believe, I think I did see a picture of it. I think you might have posted on Facebook of it. Looks like it's going to be a tremendous facility. So a chance to learn more about it. About how many kids are involved with the GJ Blackouts?
Over 500, probably 550 right now where we're at. And we're hoping to get that number to grow once we have the facility. You can check out gjblackout.com. We are still accepting donations. We've had some gracious donors in the past, and you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well.
All right, very good. Brandon, great to see you again, as always.
Likewise. Sorry, I tried to come in here and break your microphone.
You're not the first. You won't be the last, trust me. Brandon Tao with the GJ Blackouts. We'll take a break. We'll come back And coming up, we'll have pole dancing. I'm going to skedaddle to go over to Cuddlewood Craft Coffee and Beer for Mav Day. Make sure you join us over there starting at 9 o'clock this morning. The skipper, Chris Hanks, will be there. Megan Botti from the CMU softball team, also swim and dive coach Mickey Winder and Lauren White as well will be over at Cuddlewood Craft Coffee and Beer, located 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood across from CMU. We'll take a break, and coming up, some pole dancing. Our favorite World Series of all time. Is that what we're doing?
Sure. Yeah.
Thought that's what we were doing.
I thought we were doing World Series favorites for 2024.
Oh, I thought we were doing... Okay, I thought you...
I can go your way, though, since you got to leave. We can make it work.
We can... Yeah, I thought we were doing just our favorite World Series.
Gotcha.
Either way. I got confused.
There was a lot going on this morning.
Yeah, so...
We'll make it work. I'll make yours up for World Series favorites, and then I'll do favorite World Series.
Okay. I'll do my favorite World Series. Mm-hmm. You do your Guardians. Favorites, and then I'll drop in my favorites on Thursday, gotcha. Since that's opening day for the Rockies.
There you go.
All right. A lot going on this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Team Sports Network.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line. 970-242-1340.
The Jim Davis Show. Jim on the road. He's headed out to Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House there at 12th and Glenwood as Mav Day will commence there in just about 25 minutes. We'll also have her trivia coming up at that particular time. We will have, let's see, Chris Hanks, the skipper, the CMU baseball team. What, 11 in a row they've won right now? They're killing it. CMU softball head coach Megan Botti, she'll be joining us again. She was with us last time we were out there. She'll be joining us. 13 in a row, the Mavs have won on their diamond. And then Mavs swimming dive coach Mickey Winder and gajillion-time All-American Lauren White will be joining us out there as well. That's going to come up at about 9 o'clock hour. We'll send Jim on his way out there now, and I'll go out and join him as we get closer to the top of the hour. We do, for Stadium Cinema, have a winner on the Jim Davis Show as we welcome in Cake. He's over in the
morning
main studio there, but we have...
It feels real awkward.
It feels weird, but it's something we do, right? It's change will do you good, I believe, is what Sheryl Crow once sang. But sure. We have a winner for Stadium Cinema.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Andy, first in the door, identifying 8 men out. Of course, with Shohei Ohtani scandal, which we haven't talked at all about this morning. He made his statement yesterday. I don't think he took questions. So it wasn't a press conference. He read a statement, which was then translated, we think, we don't know, with the translators, interpreters situation going on now. The last one was a massive liar and gambler, according to Shohei. We don't know if that's really what Shohei said, because I don't speak Japanese.
I do not either.
Anyway, Andy correctly identifying 8 men out. He gets the downtown double play with triple play, a small antipasto salad, courtesy of our friends at Junction Square Pizza, and a $20 gift certificate to Triple Play Records downtown Grand Junction.
Not only do I not speak Japanese, there's days where I barely speak English.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very much on the outside looking into that language too, most of the time. So that will be, that'll be a lot of fun. Yep. So the NFL, the owners meetings, winter, spring meetings. Are these the seasonal meetings?
The Florida meetings.
Because I know baseball does seasonal meetings and they go like their winter meetings are in Nashville, which again, Rob Manfred, never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
Never.
Why not? Why have it in Orlando or Phoenix or San Diego in January? Let's have it in Nashville. But you know what? When, go a step farther. Have it in Toronto. Have it in Moose Canada. Jaw. Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, or wherever the hell it is. Rob Manfred.
Calgary.
Let's have it in Calgary. Saskatoon. Is Barlow, Alaska got hotel space
for the winter meetings for Major League Baseball.
Have it in Letterkenny.
Yeah, then in the summer, let's have it on the surface of the sun. Because why not? That's the Rob Manfred
absolutely.
Deal there. But the NFL meetings going on, they approved a few things. The swivel hip drop tackle technique, whatever that is. I like ESPN goes into some depth about all the other ones.
Right.
That one is literally just like 11 words.
This is the thing, and I think Jim and I talked about it on Friday when they were kind of mulling this over. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the NFL competition committee is thinking about banning the hip tackle. And I thought about it. I'm like, what is the hip drop tackle? And then I thought more. I'm like, this, like, if the NFL has not really clearly defined a catch, something mm-hmm. that is so rudimentary
yeah.
and so fundamental to the game, why are they wasting their time banning or ruling on things that are kind of vague in the first place? You know what I mean?
Let's just say this is going to be a disaster.
It's going to be a total disaster.
I have no idea how it's going to happen. This is a disaster.
Because it's going to be one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be either the refs are going to overcall it, or they're going to, quote unquote, undercall it because mm-hmm. they either run the risk of, and it kind of puts the refs in a bad position, which, you know, not that I have that much sympathy for NFL referees, but I do have sympathy when it's the league that's making these kinds of decisions right. that's pinning them in a corner, because if they don't throw the flag, the league's going to be like, why didn't you throw the flag on these plays? We specifically banned it this year. And then if they do throw the flag on something that is otherwise kind of a generic, basic tackle mm-hmm. that just so happens to be the guy wrapped him up in a way that you kind of go either way, it's like, it's a catch-22. They're, yeah. they're darned if they do and darned if they don't.
I'm not going to have your back if you're inept as an official, but if the league you're working for makes it harder for you to do your job, then you get a little grace
100%
from me. Speaking of rule changes, they changed the kickoff. Now, the NFL has changed the kickoff before in the past to try to reduce concussions.
Right.
The best part about this whole thing is touchback rates dramatically increased in the last 15 years. The return rate fell to a league record low of 21.7%. Number of concussions dropped as well, but only in parallel with the decrease in returns. The rate of concussions per returned kickoff has remained relatively consistent.
So, in other words,
it didn't really do anything. It lowered the total number. But if you happen to return it, concussions were the same rate.
So it's almost as if the play itself is the dangerous part.
Yeah.
Got it.
Not the outcome of the play.
Got it.
So Dan Campbell said he was in favor of changing the rule. Dan Campbell also part of the push to allow teams to receive their third challenge after a successful challenge, not two successful challenges.
Makes sense.
Remember, he had to do two right to get a third. Now, this proposal submitted by the Lions was just get the third if you get one right. Well, now, why not just give them three then?
That, you know what? I don't disagree.
Because the whole point of giving them the third was successful challenges.
You're two for two.
Because now where do you go? It's like, if you use a challenge, you get a third. Well, then just give them the third, right?
Yeah, I think it as it stands right now, it makes the most sense. Two successful challenges, you get a third. Because that is what it shows to me is that, okay, clearly there's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
If we're 0 for 2, if we being the refs.
Yeah.
If we're 0 for 2 on calls,
if we're not having a good day.
If we're having a bad day and you go 2 for 2 on challenges, then we kind of owe you the grace of, hey, clearly you're seeing some things that either we're not mm-hmm. or, you know, this is twice now that we, and not to say that that guarantees your third success, your third challenge is also going to be successful.
Right.
But it's at least the grace period of, you know, we've been wrong all game. Here's some comp.
Yeah. Now follow me on this.
I'm following.
If the NFL is and the owners are okay with making it easier to get an extra challenge, which implies
the need for that third challenge is more than what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which then means more calls they believe are getting wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they not passing Sky Judge?
I completely agree.
Is that just me, or is that one of those things?
No, it's not just you.
Like, okay, they're going to give more easier to obtain more challenges. Well, why not just do Sky Judge? If you have to make it easier to get challenges because you feel you're going to need that third challenge more often than not, well, just do the Sky Judge.
Because
to me, it makes perfect sense at that point.
And to add to that, the Sky Judge's whole point is to be that sort of accountability arm.
Yeah.
For both refs and for parties on the field, coaches, players, you name it, mm-hmm. you know, that the presence of the Sky Judge's whole point is that they are the kind of, you know, voice of God or view from God.
Right.
That can kind
of. They got the Xbox controller.
Exactly.
I just thought that one was just for me. It didn't make any sense.
And I think it goes back to the, if it's not their idea, they're not going to come up with it exactly. Or they're not going to pass it.
Now, there's this one. You think the kickoff rule is convoluted?
It's something about, this, like, a zone it has to enter in.
Yeah, so this new one is a little more convoluted, but it does make sense.
Okay.
If there is a double foul during a down in which there is a change of possession, including if one of those fouls is post-possession by a team during a scrimmage kick, the team last gaining possession will keep the ball after enforcement for its foul, provided their foul did not occur before gaining possession. So that is a rule that I feel already exists.
Read that to me one more time.
If there's a double foul during a down in which there is a change or changes of possession, including if one of the fouls is a post-possession foul by a team during a scrimmage kick, the team last gaining possession will keep the ball after enforcement for its foul, provided it did not foul before last gaining possession. So if there are offsetting fouls on, say, a punt, but it's, you know, illegal man downfield, but then a block in the back. They don't do it over again. That's how I'm reading that.
Feeling stupid?
Yeah.
I know I am.
And pretty much. It's if kicking team fouls, receiving team possesses the ball, and then fouls, they're not offsetting replay the down. That's how I read that.
What?
Which makes perfect sense, because why... If there's no, if the foul does not result in the change of possession,
right?
Why should the play be wiped off?
My only issue, and maybe it's just the verbiage,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that's just
like I said, convoluted,
very convoluted. I wonder what is the rationale behind making this type of decision. You know what I mean?
Right. This is.
Is this just rule changing for the sake of rule changing, or is there merit to this?
This is very baseball-ish with the automatic intentional walk. Well, what happens if the pitcher throws and misses the catcher? Well, how often does that really happen?
No kidding.
How often does this rule fix something now that it didn't in the past? Who knows? That's a couple more changes. We'll come back. We'll get you pole dancing, and then it'll be Mav Day from Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer. That's coming up at the top of the hour. Jim Davis standing by, setting up over there at the corner of 12th Street and Glenwood Avenue. The Jim Davis Show continues on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's a good show.
By the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
We got it together, didn't we?
All right, coming to the stage, yeah. It's Amber. Remember, everybody, $14 kamikaze.
Let me ask you a question. Do I make you horny, baby? Do I?
I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice?
Get those dollar bills out. It's time for pole dancing.
I can easily feel myself.
It is time for pole dancing. It is our favorites to make
the World Series this year, the year 2024. I'll start off. Number five, I have a team that won 101 games last year. Best record in the American League, but it's all about knowing how to get there. They didn't get out of the first round last year because they were eliminated by the eventual World Series champions, the Texas Rangers, who are not on my list, by the way. I have the Baltimore Orioles, number five. They're young. Jackson Holliday going to come up at some point this season, probably when they can manipulate his service time, even though he's going to win Rookie of the Year right. and get a full season anyway. But I have the Baltimore Orioles, number five.
I have the Texas Rangers.
Oh, the Texas, number five. Texas Walker, Texas Rangers.
Exactly.
I don't know why I said Texas twice. Just like I said, Jim Davis show twice.
The
heading into the Angels. They're not on this list either because they suck.
Kudo.
I have the team finishing second in the American League East last year, one shy of 100 wins. I have the Tampa Bay Rays. They're always there. Kevin Cash got them scrappy, the scrappy yellow-hatted in spring training Rays, I have as the number four team to attain the World Series.
Team that seems to always be in conversation for the World Series, even amidst garbage cans and all sorts of other things. The Houston Astros are my number four team.
You got deep in the heart of Texas covered there.
Yes.
My number three team, I don't know how this whole kerfuffle is going to affect them on the field, but if they get 140 games from Shohei, they get 140 from Mookie Betts,
right.
Freddie Freeman, the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to be at or near the World Series. And I feel that they're going to improve upon their 100-win season last year. I have the Dodgers number three.
I have them on my list. I do not have them at number three. I have, for my number three, I have the Atlanta Braves going potentially to the World Series. You know, they're a very, very good team. They just got to get over that hump and then...
Very similar teams in the top five here for us, especially in the top three. I have a team as the number two team that has made the American League Championship Series 7 years running. You've already mentioned them. They've got two World Series championships in those 7 years. They have two World Series losses in those last 7 years. I have the Houston Astros as my number two team. I'm guessing... Your number one team is the aforementioned Dodgers, or is that your number two team?
The number one team I have is the Dodgers.
Oh, and your number two is?
The Arizona Diamondbacks. Oh,
the Diamondbacks, the Snakes.
Listen, they already got there. They just
That's true.
So
yeah. Man, that division's going to be tough, though.
Yeah.
Giants have gotten better. Rockies haven't. Padres, who knows what's going to happen with them. But my number one team, the team that won the most games in baseball last year, top of the Eastern Division, the Atlanta Braves. I feel they are favorites to make. I don't know if they're going to win it, but I feel they're favorites to make the World Series. And then you have the Dodgers number one.
I have Dodgers number one. And here's the thing for the Dodgers. It's not so much I think they're the best team. It's that they've spent the most money. And in life, as is in most things.
A gambling problem.
Sorry.
In life, as in sports, he who dies with the most toys wins.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
You know, it's one of those things where it's probably just how the cards are going to fall, that because the Dodgers spent the most money in free agency and have officially sold their souls to Satan. By the way, I love, too, and I saw this, that... We did not really know much of anything about Shohei's personal life when he was with the Angels.
Until the last week.
Now that he's with the Dodgers, we know his wife, we know his dog's name,
yeah.
We know he's got a friend and interpreter with an apparent extreme gambling problem.
He had a friend.
Yeah.
But, so, we'll get our World Series picks later. I hope it's not Rangers Diamondbacks, because last year
I, for one, did not care for it.
Yes, I was not. And I love me baseball, too. All right, we'll take a break. Mav Day starts from Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. That's at the top of the hour. Jim is standing by over there. Come join us, why don't you?